Hello and welcome to episode 532 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on the internet at Hey Dude Meg, pretty much everywhere.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Happy December, since we didn't get the opportunity after so many conflicts and a very, very, very long movie. we are all together.
Should I be glad that I missed that very long movie? Oh, yeah.
Social reactions are available, so I'm not reviewing it. But I will say, if I were reading a tweet that I wrote, I would say it is not good. Avatar, Fire and Ash is a very, very, really? Very long movie. It is the exact same movie as the first one, right down to the second one is the exact, it is a copy of the second one. Right down to the climactic battle sequence is almost a copy of the second one. It was really kind of strange.
Is Sam Worthington still in it?
Yes.
And Sigourney Weaver.
What else is he doing?
Is Kate Winslet in it?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is he doing?
Yeah.
Sam Worthington. Isn't
he doing some Christian movies or something?
So he's doing
that. Isn't he in The Shack or something?
The what?
The Shack? Wasn't that called?
That was like 2016.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Oh my God, wasn't he in The Shack?
Was he in The Shack?
I wish I was in a shack and not seeing that movie.
I'm gonna guess that he was in it. It was 2017, and yes, he was in it with Octavia Spencer.
Yes. The Shack.
And Tim McGraw.
Please change the subject.
Oh no, Clarence, we can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
Oh no.
Are you in the shack?
Get out of the shack.
Get out of the shack. Is Shaq in the shack?
I love that idea. Clarence still can't hear us. And he's missing such good stuff. Why was the shack? Why was the Shaq controversial? That's a question.
Controversial or bad?
Controversial is what it says. It's because it's unbiblical and unorthodox portrayals of the Christian Trinity. It's alleged minimization of sin and God's judgment, and it's low view of the institutional church.
Wait. Oh, so they didn't like that there was a lack of judgment.
I guess so. What happened to the little girl in the shack? She was abducted and brutally murdered? Oh my God. Oh my. Okay, now I kind of want to see the shack. Justice for the shack. Also, I want to point out that these are the questions related to the shack. What is the point of the movie The Shack? That's one question. Do they ever find the little girl in the shack? And then the third question is, what is William Shatner's religious belief? That's the third question.
William Shatner? Yeah! There you are.
Hold on.
We're back!
No.
Oh, the microphone was muted.
Leave that all in.
Leave that all in.
I don't know how that happened. No, I'm not.
At least keep our very
what about our shack chat.
Our shack chat. Please keep that in. That was riveting.
Oh, you know riveting. What? What the hell? The thing that I was going to say before I was so stupidly muted was my Letterboxd review speaks to all of it when I say that at this point the only special effect would be a good screenplay.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. I wish my head could spin right now because it'd be spinning and then go, whoa.
Yes.
There are, again, this is not a review. I'm teetering over to the review too much of the review category, but the old, like, there's way too many dudes and bros in it. Like, I think,
oh, Joey, my God,
you
that's
said
my problem with most movies.
Well, no, I mean, they're like the in this like planet that nobody knows where it existed. Nobody knows what. I mean, I guess we're in the like the 3000s or something. I don't know what time it is. They're like, bro. That's
hey, bro. Hey, man. Hey, bro. Like
yeah. And the white kid with the dreads, the cultural appropriation, the walking cultural appropriation. They double down on him and give him twice the screen time they did in the last one.
Why?
I don't know. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's
and it's 3 hours and 17 minutes.
Oh, so God.
It was like, the thing that kind of bothered me about it, not even necessarily about the movie, is just that I saw so many people who saw it, and they were just like, yeah, it's not great, but it's James Cameron. And I'm like, okay, so you guys are going to like rip another movie apart because you think the director is fine, but you just give James Cameron a pass.
Yeah.
Like Catherine Bigelow.
He can direct an action.
No one's going to give her a pass. She's a woman.
I'm sorry.
Don't you know that?
I'm a woman, so I don't know anything. I'm sorry.
Of course you don't know that. You're
stupid. How dare you talk, Rib?
Let me tell you about how it works, little lady.
We just changed the name of our podcast to Mansplaining with a no G and an apostrophe.
The anyway. Alternate title is Shut Up, Bitch.
All right. Well, so that's Joey and I's take on Avatar. So that's why we weren't able to record last week. And then we had a couple of other things going on. But this week we're back. And today was the announcement of the 2025 or 2026, I guess, ceremony, Golden Globe nomination. So we're going to talk about the Golden Globes, dabble in the Critics Awards a little bit, and then wrap things up with a flash forward. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
So before we get into the Golden Globes, I want to say or ask the question after AFI, after New York Film Critics, after National Board of Review, after Los Angeles Film Critics, who do you think, though, benefited most? Or do you think critics still matter in terms of the Oscar race? Who do you think was hurt? Who do you think benefited? Or does it even matter? Like, do you think the Academy listens to critics? I don't have an answer. I'm just asking the question.
I don't have an answer to this either, but I do think that Rose Byrne has been benefiting from the critics, which is great to see because she's so good in that movie. And I think really critics are important in like kind of elevating these smaller films like this one that maybe now they'll watch this. They'll watch If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Because I feel like that kind of there was like a muted response at some point. Because, I mean, I have some people have even said to me, did it even come to Pittsburgh? You know, and I'm like, I don't know if it came to Pittsburgh. So I feel like people like Rose Byrne benefited from that. And I do think the Academy will be like, oh, well, now if they like it, I got to watch it. But I don't know how much of a huge impact that will have since a lot of people are comparing Rose Byrne to Marianne Jean-Baptiste from last year, who also was sweeping critics categories and then did not get in for Best Actress. So I do think critics still matter, but I think it just kind of depends on the year. And also I saw Eric Anderson had said something like, well, there's a big difference between Marianne Jean-Baptiste and Rose Byrne. I think we all know what it is. And I thought the same thing, but
I was also thinking the same thing, and I was keeping it inside. Rose Byrne is British too, right?
She's Australian.
She's Australian. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I would agree. If it doesn't get her a nomination, at least it makes sure, like, you know, the banging of the drum, the repeated buzz for her means that people will maybe put that screener closer to the top of the pile than maybe they would have before.
Yeah.
And of course, one battle after another swept everything. But that was, I think, expected.
Yeah.
I can't think of another film that was really going to take the critics' crown from away from one battle.
I wonder if it really kind of, like, I've personally been thinking that, you know, I feel like I'm just like, okay, it's a long season. You have to think about it. It's long. So I was like, I have had Hamnet in the number one spot pretty much this whole time, and I think I'm finally switching it. Because I had Paul Thomas Anderson as winning director, and then One Battle After Another at number two. So I'm going to switch it now with the next predictions. I think in terms of if things still matter, I wonder if I think you have to kind of go movie by movie, almost like One Battle After Another, great. But if you think about something like Avatar did not do, Way of Water did not do as well as the first one in 2009. It got a Best Picture nomination, I think three other nominations. And then this one, like the second one, got a Golden Globe nomination for Best Picture. This, the Fire and Ash, did not get anything at the Golden Globe. So I'm thinking that if you go movie by movie in terms of something like Avatar, I think it's sort of like shoved out. But I think actually a movie that did benefit, that I'm a little surprised by, is Begonia. I feel like that keeps popping up, especially in terms of, I think the most that'll get at the Oscars is picture, actress, screenplay. But I'm wondering if it's just picture and actress. I feel like it sort of rose a little bit in terms of making it close to the top 10. And then you have something like Wicked. Cynthia Erivo did not get a Critics' Choice nomination. It did not get a Best Picture nomination at the Golden Globes. But these are all critics' things. Like, I think the I think for like crafts wise, when all the guilds start coming out and the industry stuff comes out, it's gonna come back a little more. And I think, like a lot of years, like the bellwether is gonna be SAG. Like, I think I'm gonna move Wicked down further from my Best Picture nominations. I think I'm gonna move Cynthia Erivo down. It feels like, like with Critics' Choice and Wicked, it just felt like it was the Glinda show, because it only one song got nominated, the Glinda song and Glinda. So I think maybe, I don't know, like there's a moment where like all the critics and all the regional stuff starts to come out and starts to bottleneck everything, but then the industry stuff and the guild start coming out, and then other stuff starts to kind of like shift. So we're in the in-between. Lovely Bones, anyone? The in-between? All right.
Yes, that's right.
There's a tomb in the middle of your house. No.
It's been a long time.
Watch that trailer. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably taking, I think I did take Cynthia Erivo out of my top five, even before some of the misses. You know, she got into to Golden Globe comedy or musical, and when we get into that conversation, I do want to talk about that category, because that is wild. A category of six potential winners, maybe not. Anyway, we can talk about that in a minute. I don't know. I just feel like there's a stronger narrative around five other women. And I think maybe I'm being colored by my reaction to Wicked when I walked out of the screening, where I thought, you know, Glinda had a narrative, had a change. She changed throughout the film. And I didn't think that Elphaba quite did. She embraced her softness. She put on the sex cardigan. I'm sorry, Cynthia Erivo, I know you don't like the phrase, but she put on the sex cardigan, she did the nasty, and she walked away with her scarecrow man. But not as much of a character shift, I would say, as Glinda.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking her out. because I think people will say, well, she's not really doing anything that different than the first film. I'm not saying she's not good. I'm just saying the material isn't there for her as it is for Glinda.
Yeah, I agree.
Paul Thomas Anderson winning Best Director, except for one place he didn't win. Jafar Pahani won. New York, was it? I think it was New York. So I think not one battle after another, It Was Just an Accident is going to make it into the top 10. I did realign that one, I think. It is being embraced. And I wonder if that... I know Sentimental Value is doing well. It did well at the Globes. But I wonder if It Was Just an Accident is going to surprise with the ultimate Oscar win.
I think I've heard really good things. Yeah, I've heard really good things. I started it.
Yeah.
For nodding.
Yeah.
English language film.
Can we? I do need to see that. I started it, and then a dog dies in the opening of it. So I need to get back to it, but it's been a little hard to do that. But can we talk about Amy Madigan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's been saying that she was going to be the Best Supporting Actress contender? I love this nomination.
She's gone farther than this, but I would say that when she popped up in New York Film Critics Circle, that it does, there is a precedent there for actresses who are in horror-tinged cinema to get an award there and not show up at the Oscars.
Yes.
We're talking Toni Collette. We're talking from Nope. I'm blanking
Kiki on Palmer. The name.
Kiki Palmer, thank you.
All right.
They both got the same supporting actress win. Amy Madigan is Amy Madigan, right? I think there's also a career narrative there where she is back in the limelight after, you know, decades in the industry. So there's another narrative there, but I think she'll probably get in. That category is so fluid. I still don't think there needs to be two Sentimental Value actresses in that category, but it seems they both seem to be popping up everywhere.
But with the New York Film Critics, was that the one where Tiffany Haddish showed up for Girls Trip? Where did she win for Girls Trip? Was that there? Okay.
I think that supporting actress at New York Film Critics specifically is always one of the most exciting races. That's where you got like Catherine Hunter for The Tragedy of Macbeth, Kiki Palmer. Last year it was Carol Kane.
Catherine Hunter.
She's that category specifically. I look forward to every season. Sometimes it aligns with Oscar, sometimes it doesn't. It just really feels like Maria Bakalova won there for Borat, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just it's such a satisfying category to me every season. But I actually thought when that happened, I was like, all right, well, that's just New York Film Critics Circle. Of course, that's something they would go for. And then she popped up at the Globe. She's popping up everywhere. So, and she's so gracious and nice and well spoken and so actory that I feel like I'm so excited for her.
She's not doing too much press either. She's doing just the right amount. Even for a while there, she wasn't really doing anything. And I think they probably did that deliberately to get people to watch the movie and be surprised by her. But now that I feel like most people who are going to see the movie have seen the movie, or maybe not, maybe I'm wrong. I feel like she's popping up more places, and I am here for it. So I guess when we talked about, there are a few snubs in the supporting actress category at the Golden Globes when we talk about it that I do want to mention, but I was very excited to see she showed up. She's showing up places.
She is, and she'll probably show up at SAG, I would think.
Yeah, I would think too, yeah.
Yeah.
Those nominations come next week, I believe.
No, yes. Those come in. SAG doesn't come in. The voting doesn't start for SAG until the 15th.
Okay. So they won't come until January.
SAG and DGA start within a week of each other. And then I think they run for 3 weeks, and then I think the nominations come out like a couple days after.
Okay. Well, do we want to go ahead and jump into, well, before we leave, I think it's hit or miss on critics groups and critics, and the Oscars. You could see one battle after another just run right through the whole season and take home, because it's the irrefutable winner. Or this could be another Social Network year where critics went for one film and the heart went for another one. Granted, you know, something like Sinners or Hamnet doesn't have the Harvey Weinstein push behind it. So
it's true.
Oh,
Focus could do a little bit better on their campaigning for Hamnet. They have a Best Picture winner. I just, whatever reason, like the weird thing, you know, the meme that happened with somebody in the marketing team decided to push the quote that said, this is the one of the greatest films ever made, or maybe the greatest picture ever made, or something hyperbolic like that. And that was a lot. Like, no current film should have that tag, I don't think.
I agree. And I think it was fine that, like, I know that became like everybody was being mean to that writer, and I think that was unfair, and I think that's the writer's opinion.
Well,
and
it wasn't fine. Exactly what that writer said either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we all know when you get a request for a quote, they do not twist your words, but they do modify your words, they shorten your words, they, you know, and they get, you know, approval. So that writer did approve that blurb, but I read the original text. That's not what they said. It was something along those lines, maybe a bit more generic, but it was you know, nobody should attack that writer for that.
Right. Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's jump to the Globes, because that is the thing that is freshest on our mind. So we have one battle left.
Nice Globe.
Globe Perfect. Nominations with
Thank
nine.
You.
You have a Globe? Wait, did I miss something?
No, he said nice Globes.
I'm making boob jokes.
We were just being
one can tell I'm wearing a hat. My behavior is different.
He's now straight. He's Cody's portraying a straight bro in tonight's podcast.
I know. Yes, boobs.
Okay, that ended fast.
Yes, it never began. Joke. Fuck off.
The one thing I will say about, as I looked very quickly at the Globe nominations this morning, the very first thing that popped in my mind was the old Globes are truly dead. Because you don't have...
Sad.
I know. I miss those nominations. Like, where is our Best Picture comedy musical push for Song Song Blue? Where is Hugh Jackman?
Where's the Naked Jackman? Gun?
Well, right.
The Naked Gun wasn't going to be in there, but...
No.
You know... There are things. There are choices.
Where's friendship?
Mm.
That was never
good. Like, I actually got really annoyed. I almost started writing a piece about specifically this category, and I was just like, I'm not saying.
Sorry. Which category?
I'm sorry. Motion picture, comedy, or musical.
Okay.
There were three bigger musicals. There might be more that came out: Wicked, Kiss of the Spider Woman, and The Testament of Anne Lee.
Yes.
I think The Testament of Anne Lee was a little too highbrow. Yeah. If this was 15 years ago, Kiss of the Spider Woman would be all over this bitch.
Yes.
And I think that Wicked, I mean, technically Wicked grew in nominations. It missed Best Picture, but last year got four, this year got five, because of those two song nominations. So I feel like Wicked was probably right underneath these six. But the thing is, I think if you have a category, specifically musical or comedy, I'm not saying you need to nominate it because it default is this genre, but it's just like, come on a little bit. I went through and I listed all of the musicals that were nominated since 2010. And there are some questionable things in here. Like, oh, I don't know. Burlesque.
Well, again,
Burlesque. Yeah. Old Globes. No, that's it. It just sort of like bums me out. I think that I couldn't form a piece that wasn't basically around the thesis of it bums me out that there's no
that's
like
okay.
Campy musical fun thing in here.
Was that Tom Cruise musical, that jukebox musical in here years ago?
The one? Rock of Ages?
Rock
no.
Of Ages.
And I was basically going to be like, if I said that on Twitter, people would be like, well, those three movies are bad, or like the three movies, like for a musical to get into best musical or comedy at the Golden Globes, nothing matters other than the fact that it is a musical.
Right.
Woody Allen's Everyone Says I Love You was nominated in 1996.
Evita was nominated.
Yeah. Evita won, I think.
Yes, it did.
And it's just like, I'm getting a little, and this is probably beyond this category because the television categories are a snooze fest. And they don't have really any fun in them, but it's just sort of like, I'm getting really sad that award shows do not have a distinct identity anymore to a certain degree. Like, everything does not have to be linked. I mean, it does because it's the season and that's how the season goes. But I mean, like, SAG, you're not going to get like a SAG Birdcage win now, right? Because it's not a serious contender for Best Picture. Like, it bums me out that specific things about different kinds of award shows that make them special are sort of, it feels like they're being like shoved out a little. I don't know. End of rant.
No, I do want to push back against something that you said a little bit. Testament of Anne Lee, that wasn't, I don't know why that didn't get in, because that's not, this, you said it was too highbrow, but that there are highbrow titles that did get in. Blue Moon, No Other Choice, Nouvelle
Highbrow is probably the wrong word.
I think it's
tough. It's a tough it's musical. Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't know of, I'm not saying this to be sassy, but I don't know, I could not name you three people that have seen Nouvelle Vague.
And the fact that it got in over Jane Kelly.
Yeah.
Wait.
I mean, that's an international.
My sister has seen Nouvelle Vague.
Okay. One. Yes. I have one.
You've got one.
No, I know. I guess that would be my third person. Yay. I mean, that is a more international title. That was one of the movies that France was considering to be their Oscar submission. So maybe this is just a really present example of how international voters are showing different, you know, more international films in these in the main categories.
And most of these films had like large festival launching pads, except for One Battle After Another, which doesn't belong in this. isn't a comedy.
I mean, I guess it is kind of a comedy.
I didn't laugh.
I did. I laughed a lot.
It's a strange.
I wouldn't call it a comedy. I would say it's funny in sections, but I don't call it a comedy. I think it's a satire.
I think
that's a comedy. I think it's a satire.
Shut up.
Yeah, well, that's true. A satire is a comedy. I don't know. I think Warner Brothers put it into comedy consideration because they felt they had a better shot at winning.
It's probably true.
I think it had. I think that movie, especially now that we're seeing how things are shaking out, I think that could be positioned anywhere then.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Probably.
If it was in drama, do you think it would have, like, what's the biggest competition there? Sinners?
Hamnet.
Okay.
Sinners or Hamnet.
Value, maybe. Okay.
I know that you think that, like, the old Globes are dead, but there's a nomination here that I'm like, oh, there's still that spirit, and it's, well, there's... It's Julia Roberts in After the Hunt. I'm like, they really wanted her to show up.
That's Globesy.
Yeah, that's very Globesy. And that gave me some hope. I was like, oh, yeah. And like, Die My Love, too. Like, Jennifer Lawrence.
Well,
like, they really were just like, we really want you to come.
Oscar Isaac. For Frankenstein. Oh,
did he get in for Frankenstein?
He got in for Frankenstein. Come on.
Yeah. Emily Blunt for The Smashing Machine. And Wayne Johnson for The Smashing Machine. Jeremy Allen White. That was an exciting one.
And there was somebody that, I forget who, let me see. There's somebody I was thinking about that was missing from the supporting actress
category. Oh, there are a couple. Jennifer Lawrence, I'm not sure. Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez. And also, Wunmi Misako.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fact that they couldn't make room for her. Yeah,
that kind of bugged me. Yeah.
But The Smashing Machine.
I keep seeing that clip of Emily Blunt to the tune of Bruce Springsteen putting a gun to her head. And this is terrible for me to laugh at it because it's based on a true story. I don't know if this actually happened. But Dwayne Johnson's like, no, Dawn, no. And like that's the only clip I've seen making the rounds online.
Also, Old Globes would have nominated Sydney Sweeney for The Housemaid.
Oh, yeah, ahead of it coming out.
And I mean, without even having seen it, they would have nominated
her. Right, yes. And they do you think they would have nominated her for Christie, too?
Probably.
I mean, there are a few Globes-y things in the television category, specifically... Helen Mirren for Mobland, that's Globesy.
That's very Globesy. Can we make that a word? That's so Globesy.
Glenn Powell for Chad Powers, that's Globesy.
Oh, yeah, Globesy is fun, man.
Oh, and Jacob Elordi for that movie nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. That's them, you know, reaching for their Prime Video fleshlight. That's what it is.
Also Globesy, I did love that. Globesy is Amanda Seyfried for Long Bright River.
Yes. Oh, right. That's so Globesy. Oh,
that's so Globesy.
Oh my God. So Globesy.
Oh, so Globesy.
So Globesy. I'm sorry, Clarence.
Robin Wright for the
You're all right.
Globesy.
No, that's the most. I was like, when I saw it, that was one of the first categories they announced. And I was like, ooh, the Globes are back. And then the rest of it is shit. But like, if you look at like, a performance by a male actor in a supporting role on television, they're all Emmy nominees. There's no like Owen Cooper, Billy Crudup, Walton Goggins, Jason Isaacs, Tramiel Tillman, and Ashley Walters. And I was like, snooze. Great actors, great performances, but snooze.
Wait. Also, oh, that's right. Ashley Walters did get nominated there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you make of Jennifer Aniston not getting in for drama?
For The Morning Show?
Yeah.
Well, this is the first year that The Morning Show didn't get in.
But Billy Crudup did.
But it's not like across the board, like, consistent. At least every year they've gotten series and an acting nomination. I think this is the only acting nomination I got. Right.
This is his J. Kelly nomination. They just didn't want to waste the space.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. Critics' Choice, she also didn't get in because I believe Greta Lee and Nicole Beharie got in. Because I was yes, hold on, let me double check.
But like I think that I would have to check, but like performance while you're checking on that. Performance yes. by a female actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. I thought they were going to give that, because of the ingenue factor, I thought it was going to be Rachel Sennett for I Love L.A. And I think this might be the first year in a long time, I could be wrong, where every single person in that category is a returning show. There's no new shows in that category, which is, I don't like that.
The ingenue theory is dead.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so Nicole Beharie and Greta Lee got in for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, but Jennifer Aniston did not get it at all. This is for Critics' Choice.
Did it get in for Drama Series and Critics' Choice?
Hold on. I did not check that.
And while you're looking that
up. It did not get it. No.
And this confirms what I had hoped that FX would do with the bear in the next Emmy season, is to recognize the fact that this last season was incredibly dramatic and potentially shift it to the drama races, because there isn't a lot of competition for drama coming up at the Emmys next year, but they're still keeping it in comedy. It's just so frustrating, because it is like more so now than ever before, it is not a comedy. But I'm going to quit ringing that bell because nobody's listening to it.
I don't know if people are listening to it, or I feel like some people have just abandoned the bear.
Me! Could be. I've abandoned the bear.
Could be.
Are we going to talk about the best podcast category?
I would like to point out that these are not representative of America's listenership. I'm just saying.
Where's Joe Rogan?
Where's Megyn Kelly? Where's the man?
Where's New Heights with Travis and Jason Kelsey?
I saw an ad. I can't remember. I think it was my issue of Variety that I got in the mail. An FYC ad for the Ben Shapiro podcast.
Yep.
And I was like, I know he was campaigning and he's more than welcome to do that. But it's just like, part of me was just like, I would love to see you try to walk up to a woke leftist celebrity at the Golden Globes, the drunken aunt of all award shows, and have everyone be like, fuck off.
That would be great.
It would be great. I do think it's ridiculous that they're including this category at the Golden Globes. Like, I know they're trying to embrace alternate media, but yes, we were snubbed, but it's like, how do you... This is just, it's going to be either Call Her Daddy or Amy Poehler. And it's probably going to be
Amy Poehler. Oh, I think it's going to be Amy Poehler. I don't think it'll be Call Her Daddy.
Okay.
I actually really love that podcast.
I think Smartless, I've listened to probably all of these, maybe. I think Smartless, I could see.
Oh, is Smartless the Bateman
one? Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. I think it's between those two. Ooh, which is like, ooh, X's, Amy versus Will. That's interesting.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Is this thing on? Didn't get anything either.
I didn't, and that's too bad. That was a very Globesy film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bradley Cooper would have gotten in the best director at the old Globes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that would be like the movie that no one has seen yet. No one has seen yet. It's not out.
Right. There's nothing like that here this time.
No, it bums me out.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't worry. There's still hope in Glenn Powell and Chad Powers. Don't worry.
White dudes.
Yeah.
Will be saved.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Frankenstein nominations. What do you think? Do you think that is going to help Guillermo del Toro get into the Oscar Best Five Directors?
I personally don't. I just feel like I've heard such mixed things about Frankenstein from you guys, and also from just regular people who watched it on Netflix that are just like, eh. And I just don't. I think it's in for craft stuff, but I just don't see him getting in for director.
Well, if you think about who's in for director, so Paul Thomas Anderson, Locke, Chloe Zhao. I think Jahar Panahi is in.
Jafar.
I think the more people see that, the more they're going to respond to it, and also his personal story, I think they're going to respond to. I think a softy brother might get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we know which one.
Yeah. Gee, what? And then you got
Coogler.
What?
Coogler, Ryan Coogler.
Coogler and Trier. And I can see Del Toro getting in there. I feel like right now for me, he's at like six or seven.
I think I'm settling on Anderson, Coogler, Panahi, Zhao, and the Marty Supreme Safdie. Josh Safdie. I don't. There's something that tells me I'm getting some tingling Spidey sense or whatever that Joaquin Trier does not get in for sentimental value.
I think he's more vulnerable than
that. What do we think of Train Dreams? And is that like the little engine that could?
It did get in at AFI.
And I do feel like people are discovering it more. I would love to see a director nomination.
Specifically in director?
Yeah. I think I'm wondering if Joel Edgerton can be like the fifth acting nomination.
That category is so freaking stacked. I think it has a shot at being best picture, but I was talking with, but if you think that would be, if you think of just Netflix movies, if you think Frankenstein is in, so if you think Train Dreams is getting in, do you think J. Kelly is not getting in?
I would put Train Dreams over J. Kelly.
Interesting. I don't think I'm ready to let go of J. Kelly.
You can never let go, Jack. You can never
let go. We're mixing our heartthrobs.
James Cameron.
Well, like our friend, Kevin pointed out to me that like Train Dreams was never like, it just in viewership was never in like the Netflix top 10.
Right.
So I don't know if people are watching it or if it's like an internet thing.
Amelia Perez wasn't either.
Okay, well then that shuts up that theory.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Boom. It was. I thought it gets just like number 8 or something like that. It was down at the bottom. I think it was in the top 10. I don't Amelia think it was number Perez? 1. Yeah, Amelia Perez. I think it was like
I don't think it was ever 7. In the top. So many people said they didn't even know it was on Netflix.
Let me look. Let me see if I can find out.
Amelia Perez ever in the Netflix top 10.
Are we Googling the same exact
No.
Thing? Oh, yeah. It never did. Well, there you go. 14 Oscar nominations.
I absolutely love this house.
But what is the, aside from being a great film, what is the narrative that pushes that forward? Amelia Perez had tons of festival buzz, had the performances, it had a lot pushing it forward. Whether or not people liked it, of course they didn't. Some of it's not good, but what is it about Train Dreams that is winning things that would push it forward?
Cinematography, people really like responded yeah. to that. The story, the ending, people are really responding to. And I think Joel Edgerton is such an underrated actor. I don't think he has ever been nominated for anything big, right? Like Clint Bentley's the same way as a director. I think Jockey was one of my favorite films from a few years ago. I really love that one. And I just feel like I could see people discovering it in like a, dare I say, coda kind of way. I'm not saying it's going to win, but I could see it having like a late bloom, especially that it came out at like the right time for people to discover it. But I've been seeing more and more people online talking about it.
Yeah, I think that it's got the artistic, it's like, oh, that's like real powerful filmmaking. And then also it could be another one. There's like, oh, but have you seen Train Dreams? You should, like, the discovery factor. Because it did play TIFF. I think it was TIFF.
Middleburg.
And it played at Middleburg. That's where I saw it. I saw it at Middleburg. And I have to say the folks over at Netflix, when I talked to them, when I told them that I love the movie, they seem to really believe in that movie. I would love it if Joel Edgerton got in for that. It's just, that's such like a type of performance and a type of movie that doesn't always, it's not showy. It's not like the kind of Oscar movie that gets like, you know, performance that doesn't get nominated. It's, you know, quiet and patient and deliberate and things like that. So I think
that can work in its favor too, though. It's like an apple in a bag.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean that all positively.
Yeah.
I think Netflix is probably pushing Frankenstein more heavily, though.
I think you're probably right. But I have a, well, but I think that people are like, I'm not seeing anybody online say, whoa, Frankenstein blew me away. I have not seen that once.
You don't have my feed, though, because when that thing came out, me either. It was like 5 stars all around the board. Like, it was a masterpiece. Like, I've seen so many people call Frankenstein a masterpiece.
I have not seen that at all. I've seen more people talking about Train Dreams and how, like, that ending and how underrated, you know, just, like, that's what I've been seeing.
Oh, yeah. Our algorithms are not the same.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's so weird that how the algorithms are influencing people to look at films in a different way.
Yeah, maybe I'm completely wrong.
No, I don't think there's a right or wrong. I'm just saying what I've seen, just based on what Twitter is allowing me to see or is pushing in my face. Let's go through the categories very quickly and just say who we think is going to win that category, and then we'll and if there's anything you want to add to that race, then we can hop over to the flashboard. Sound good?
Sure.
So, motion picture drama. We've got Frankenstein, Hamnet, It Was an Accident, Just an Accident, Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners.
I'll say Hamnet.
I'm going to be controversial and say Sentimental Value.
Mm. I'm going to say Hamnet. Boom. I couldn't, you know, I said, I was thinking, like, what else could have gotten in here? Because I was very surprised to see three foreign films in here. And I'm still at a loss. I mean, maybe the old Globes would have gone Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere.
I feel like they would have.
Yeah. Over something like Secret Agent, but I don't know. Motion picture, musical or comedy, Blue Moon, Begonia, Marty Supreme, No Other Choice, Nouvelle Vague, Vague. Is it Vague or Vogue?
Vague. I think it's Vogue.
So Vague. Vogue? Okay. And One Battle After Another. One Battle After Another?
Yes.
Begonia.
One Battle. Yeah, One Battle.
Animated, Arco, Demon Slayer, Elio, K-pop, Little Amelie, Zootopia 2.
K-pop.
K-pop.
I think this audience is going K-pop.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to win the Oscar, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
You don't think so? K-pop Demon Hunters is going to win the Oscar.
I don't know. I see. I keep going back to what they... And maybe they've changed with the new membership, but I keep going back to, like, the statement that the Academy never watches the animated films and they just vote for the Disney thing.
Well, K-pop Demon Hunters, though, has been like a phenomenon.
Yes, and Golden will probably win Best Song.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to do Cinematic Box Office Achievement because that is a meaningless category. Motion Picture Non-English Language.
It'll be Sinners.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the token, the Barbie prize this year.
Yes.
Non-English language. It Was Just an Accident. No Other Choice. The Secret Agent. Sentimental Value. Serat. And The Voice of Hind Rajab.
I am going to go with Sentimental Value here.
I'm going to go with Accident. You're going with Accident? Female actor in a motion picture drama. Buckley for Hamnet, Lawrence, Die My Love, Renceve. I don't know. Sentimental Value. Reinsva. Roberts. Reinsva. Sorry. Sentimental Value. Thank you for correcting me. Roberts, After the Hunt, Tessa Thompson, Hedda, and Eva Victor. Sorry, baby. Jesse Buckley.
Great category, though. Great.
Yeah. I love that Eva Victor got in.
Me, too. So good. But yes, Buckley.
And I love that Tessa Thompson got in for Hedda.
Yes. Male actor in a motion picture drama. Edgerton, Train Dreams, Isaac, Frankenstein, Johnson, Smashing Machine, Jordan, Sinners, Mora, The Secret Agent, Jeremy Allen White, Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere.
Mora.
I think it has to be Michael B. Jordan.
I'm thinking this international audience is going to give it to Mora. just like they gave it to what's her face from last year.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're right. Because if Sinners had more nominations, I'd say Michael B. Jordan. But well, okay, Wagner Moura. Yeah, I get that. I feel that.
I feel you. Female actor, emotional, emotional. Female actor in emotion.
You're calling women emotional.
Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. Erivo, Cynthia Erivo, Wicked for Good. Kate Hudson, Song Song Blue. Chase Infinity, One Battle After Another. Amanda Seyfried, Testament of Anne Lee. Emma Stone, Begonia. Great category. Great nomination.
I actually am not sure. Part of me wants to say Kate Hudson. I might just say Emma Stone for Begonia.
Joey.
I'm a little torn because the way that I think it goes is Burn Infinity Erivo. Stone Seyfried Hudson level. Because it Chase Infinity's. I think I'm gonna go with Rose Byrne, but I could see Chase Infinity just because there is no ingenue.
Yeah.
There's love you and ingenue, but that might be dead. But Rose Byrne, I'm just gonna go with the momentum.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't count out Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, I wouldn't count her out either.
Great, I would love that.
Because it seems like even if people don't like the film, everyone is single-handedly praising her performance. Yes. And it is so different. No, I know Rose Byrne's is as well, but I don't know. Could be either one. It could be Emma Stone. It could be Kate Hudson. If it were the old Globes, it would be Kate Hudson.
I could see any of them, to be honest. Like, any
agreed.
Of them.
It's a very, very strong... Maybe yeah. Less Cynthia Erivo, but it is a very strong.
I think she's the category. Least. She's the one I don't think will win.
Same.
But any of the other ones I could see winning.
Male actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Timothée Chalamet, Marty Supreme, George Clooney, Jay Kelly, Leonardo DiCaprio, One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke, Blue Moon, Lee Byung-hun, No Other Choice, and Jesse Plemons, Begonia.
I think it has to be Leo.
I'm going to say it's Timothy.
Let me.
But then I also want to say Dark Horse is Ethan Hawke.
I would love that because he did Blue Moon me did too. Get in for picture.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Timothée Chalamet is kind of all his Oscar talk and stuff. I'm wondering if that's rubbing people the wrong way.
Could be. I mean, Marty Supreme
he
did
deserves an
here.
Oscar. Yeah, that he deserves an Oscar and stuff, and I don't know.
Did you see Club Chalamet's profile in the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, a lot of people were upset about that.
A lot of people have too much time on their hands if that's what they're upset about. Okay. Joey,
now there's other stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh God. I think I'm gonna go Ethan Hawke just because.
Nice. I love that. Okay, I'm doing that too.
You're going to change your prediction to Ethan Hawke? Okay. Female actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. Emily Blunt, Smashing Machine, Elle Fanning, Cinema No Value, Ariana Grande, Wicked for Good, Inga Ibslaughter, Lilias, Cinema No Value, Amy Madigan, Weapons, Tiana Taylor, One Battle After Another.
I'm going with Amy.
Riding that one all the way.
Yes. Because I could see them also wanting to be like, oh, we want to rubber stamp this type of thing.
Well, this would be the cool thing to give to her.
Mm-hmm.
They would be the first, televised awards to give it to Aunt Gladys. That would be kind of cool.
I love it.
I'm going to be Globesy and say Ariana Grande.
That's so Globesy.
That's so Globesy.
I think they should come up with a mascot. like an animated version of the Golden Globe statue and call it
Tim
Globesy.
Robinson needs to come up with it.
I love salmon fishing in the Yemen.
Exactly. I'm also going to go with Ariana Grande. Male actor in a supporting role in any motion picture, Benicio del Toro, One Battle After Another, Jacob Elordi, Frankenstein, Paul Mescal, Hamnet, Sean Penn, One Battle After Another, and Adam Sandler, Jake Kelly, and Stellan Skarsgård, Sentimental Value. I'm going with Stellan
Skarsgård, yeah.
Me too. Right. I could see them giving it to Jacob Elordi. I could.
Yes, I could see that too.
The Aaron Taylor Johnson effect.
Yep. Yes. But that's even, the old Globesy.
That is old Globesy. But I can't say old Globesy for Ariana Grande and not Globesy right. for Jacob Elordi.
I get it.
Well, it's like the year they gave it to Natalie Portman for Closer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
They did.
I thought that was going to be a beautiful season, and then I'm very disappointed.
All right. Director, motion picture, Anderson, Coogler, Del Toro, Pahani, Trier, and Zhao. Paul Thomas Anderson.
PTA. Yeah.
Screenplay, One Battle, Marty Supreme, Sinners, It Was Just an Accident, Sentimental Value, Hamnet. I have no idea. Yeah. I want to say Marty Supreme, but they... Ooh. That's a dense
I'm going to Sentimental Value.
I'm going to go with Hamnet.
I would love that. Score, Frankenstein, Sinners, One Battle After Another, Surratt, Hamnet, F1. I'm going to say One Battle.
Hamnet. Oh, yes, One Battle.
Joey?
Sure.
Okay. Song, the one from Avatar, the one from K-pop, the one from Sinners, the one from Wicked, the two from Wicked, and the one from Train Dreams. I'm going to go with the golden K-pop Demon Hunters.
Now, I'm going to say, in the last however many years, and stats are not everything, any time that there was a movie that had more than one song nominated, one of the songs wins.
Oh!
The last 2 years, it hasn't happened a lot, but the last 2 years that happened, with Barbie, there were three nominations, and then I can't remember what got two last year. And then there was a number of years before that happened again. But it was something with two songs, one. So I would say, actually, you know what? Fine. I'll just be controversial now. It's going to be The Girl in the Bubble.
All right. And do we want to go over TV? Or just you want to stick with film? Yeah. Okay. Drama series. The Diplomat, The Pit, Pluribus, Severance, Slow Horses, The White Lotus.
I'm saying The Pit.
I'm going to say Pluribus.
I don't know. It is the newest thing on their mind, but they do like to rubber stamp the Emmys lately. I'm going to go with The Pit. Although The Pit did not, well, you know, you all know my rant on the, or maybe people don't, but my decades-long rant about the supporting in any TV show ever categories. Those were the worst.
And, I saw you on TV. You got a nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TV, musical, or comedy, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Nobody Wants This, Only Murders, The Studio.
The Studio.
Limited Series, etc. Adolescence, All Her Fault, Beast and Me, Black Mirror, Dying for Sex, and The Girlfriend. I'm not going to read all that.
Adolescence.
Female actor in a drama series, Kathy Bates, Will She Tear Up Her Speech Again? Britt Lauer, Helen Mirren, Bella Ramsey, Carrie Russell, Ray Seahorn.
I'm going to say Ray Seahorn because I said Pluribus.
I'm going to say Carrie Russell because of the, that's where she first won her Golden Globe for Felicity all those years ago.
Britt Lauer, because they like to rubber stamp.
Yeah, it's true.
Male actor. That's probably although I could see it being Rhea Seahorn.
Yeah, I could too.
Male actor in a TV series drama, Sterling K. Brown, Paradise, Diego Luna, Andor, Gary Oldman, Slow Horses, Mark Ruffalo, Task, which did not get nominated for drama series, Adam Scott, Severance, and Noah Wiley, The Pit. I'm going with Noah Wiley.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. Female actor in a TV series, musical, or comedy. Kristen Bell, Nobody Wants This. Ayo Edebiri, The Bear. Selena Gomez, Only Murders in the Building. Natasha Lyonne, Poker Face. Jenna Ortega, Wednesday. Jean Smart, Hacks.
Jean Smart.
Male actor in a TV series, musical, or comedy. Adam Brody, Nobody Wants This. Steve Martin, Only Murders. Glenn Powell, Chad Powers. Seth Rogen, The Studio. Martin Short, Only Murders. Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
Glenn Powell.
Seth Rogen. Best performance by a female actor in a limited series, etc. Claire Danes, The Beast and Me. Rashida Jones, Black Mirror. Amanda Seyfried, Long Bright River. Sarah Snook, All Her Fault. Michelle Williams, Dying for Sex. Robin Wright, The Girlfriend.
I'm going with Claire Danes. Because she also won the Golden Globe for My So-Called Life.
Megan's getting nostalgic. Back.
Yeah. I'm Sarah Snook.
Sure, Sarah Snook. No idea.
Sure.
Male actor in a limited series, Jacob Elordi, The Narrow Road to the Deep North. Paul Giamatti, which sounds like one of those Paul Rubnik fake movies that they put in or out, you know?
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti, Black Mirror, Stephen Graham, Adolescence, Charlie Hunnam, The Monster, The Ed Gein Story, Jude Maybe. Law, Black Rabbit, and Matthew Reese, The Beast in Me. This is not going to happen, but I'm going to say Charlie Hunnam.
I am
too.
You are really?
Yeah. Yes.
We've been around.
He's only the apple in the bag of oranges.
Yeah. Only if he like accepts in character. That'd be so funny.
Well, I really want to thank everybody.
Mommy.
I would like to wear all of you. female actor in a supporting role on television. Carrie Coon, White Lotus. Erin Doherty, Adolescence. Hannah Einbinder, Hacks. Catherine O'Hara, The Studio. Parker Posey, White Lotus. Amy Lou Wood, White Lotus. Are they going to be weird and go with Carrie Coon? And where is the Gilded Age?
I was thinking Hannah Einbinder.
I was thinking Parker Posey.
Oh.
Okay. No, but seriously.
Boring? The TV nominations are boring.
Where is the Gilded Age? Yeah, they are kind of
boring. Yeah. Where's the Gilded Age? Carrie Coon did not ship her daughter off to another country to get married to a duke. Did not get a Golden Globe nomination. That's the most Globesy storyline ever.
The best season so far. Anyway. Male actor in a supporting role on television. Owen Cooper, Adolescence. Billy Crudup, The Morning Show. Walton Goggins, The White Lotus. Jason Isaacs, The White Lotus. Tramell Tillman, Severance. Ashley Walters, Adolescence. It's between Cooper and Tillman.
Yes, I think so too. I'll give it to Cooper.
I will agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Stand up on TV. Bill Maher, Brett Goldstein, Kevin Hart, Kumail Nanjiani, Ricky Gervais, and Sarah Silverman.
I feel like it'll be Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
And then he'll come up and go, oh, hello, everybody. Huh? Like, you know how he's talking.
Like, hello, everyone. You're hello, all everyone. Ritzy pedophile. Are you on the Epstein list? Let me get through my own head.
Oh, he is going to talk about that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And for podcasts, we've all already said good hand I think with it's, Amy Poehler.
And I'm going to go with Smartless.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love Amy Poehler's podcast. I do, like, legitimately.
I haven't listened to it because I didn't like her book. I read her book years ago and I didn't like it.
She's, I will say I about like her.
But I don't know. It's a lot.
I think she's really good at interviewing people and in the moment thinking of other questions to other things to talk about. Yeah. I think she's really good at that.
All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
I still have to watch 8,000 things. I'm thinking we're almost halfway through December, and I would not be able to compile a top 10 list. I was very busy in the last week publishing a lot of shorts, interviews. I'm still not done. I'm actually, not to toot my own horn, I'm actually very proud of a lot of the stuff that I've put out. Shortlist voting started today, and I'm going to be writing, I think, a couple different pieces about predictions with it, because I'm insane. So films, movies. The thing I want to get back into, I think, the most right now is All Her Fault. I need something new, star-studded. There's a Fanning. A Missing Child. I heard it's great. I've only seen one episode, and I was pretty into it, but then shit got in the way. So just catch up.
Megan?
So I hate to say this, but I'm watching Heated Rivalry, and I don't love it, but like, you know when you like have a dream and you're like, oh wow, this is great, this is like a great story, I gotta write this down. I feel like that's what this show is, and then you look down what you've written and you're like, this is complete crap. Like, I feel like that's, I'm like watching it and I don't know why I'm watching it. I need to watch All Her Fault. I do need to watch that. There are other things that are coming back. Well, The Chair Company's done. I really like I Love LA. I really enjoy that show. And then I'm also reading Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman, which is about a journalist who interviews a Hollywood heartthrob. And 10 years later, she interviews him again. It's kind of fun. I really like it. I guess that's about it. I've got lots of movies to watch still, but that's about it.
Can we do a podcast where it's just me and Megan watching Clarence watch Heated Rivalry?
Why? Yes.
Because it's apparently really gay and hot.
Wait, you've not watched it, Joey?
No, I have not had time.
Well, I know Clarence wouldn't watch it, but Joey, like, it's...
Joey has seen Heated Rivalry many, many times. It's just in a much more explicit form.
On men.com. It's like...
Men.com is a thing?
Yes.
It's like puck in the butt. Or like...
It's like...
grab my stick.
It's like... The thing is, though, like, some of the reactions for stuff is just so... is so over the top. Like, I saw someone be like... It was just a gif of someone screaming. And I was like, I just got to the next episode. And I was like, I don't know if it's like they're reacting to that because it's like so graphic on just a regular TV show. But I mean, it's not from America. It's from Canada. So other countries have more graphic stuff, especially when it comes to queer shit. So
I think it was that graphic. It's just stupid. like there's like... It's basically just like, hey, you want to hook up? I'll see you in your room. Let's hook up. Like, it's just hook up after hook up.
There was a video that went to, like Avatar. There was a video that went around where it was showing the shower scene from it. And like the one guy's just like standing there sideways, just like watching.
Yes.
He's just like laddering up. And the other guy's like looking at him like, oh no.
There are no side characters or anything. It is literally just these two texting each other and being like, do you want to hook up? Let's hook up.
And is it basically, is it like Red, White, and Royal Blue, but with like lube?
Red, White, and lube.
That's red, red, white, I mean, and royal
this
lube.
This new episode was fairly interesting because the one guy who is another gay hockey player like starts a relationship with his smoothie guy. And, like, the double entendres were great because he was like, you should really add a banana. Oh, I really like the banana in my smoothie.
Like, please tell me that Uma Thurman shows up with that Southern accent. And she's like, hey, y'all.
Megan, have you seen that movie?
No, I have not seen that movie.
There's a part of, do you know the Truvada line where she's talking about Uma Thurman as the Southern president? And she's like, do we have to get you on Truvada? Like, I'm not kidding. That is not an exaggeration, and it is not accurate, but it's not accurate.
That's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie, but it's like,
I should watch it.
I wonder if it's just, I don't know if you will necessarily understand this if I say it is gay. It is gay explicit content written by a straight woman.
I think that's what
the source material is from the
rivalry is too. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because they're also like, okay, not to go off on a tangent, but it's all blowjobs. It's all blowjobs.
Banana.
It's all blowjobs. Like, I was like, when are we gonna see the butt stuff?
I know what the clip's gonna be this week.
When are we gonna see the? Let the record show that the big fag on the podcast is not asking for the butt stuff. And this bitch.
Okay, because I know enough gay men, and I know that's not the only thing that they do.
It's that bitch on my screen. I'm very uncomfortable with what you just pointed to me.
I'm sorry. I don't know where you are. You could be, I don't know. Whatever.
Point to your right. You're right. Yeah, that bitch.
Well, in this way, she's here.
And well, you're there. And I'm recording, so you're pointing to me.
I said this bitch.
It's fine.
Okay.
All right. Let's. I'm going to bring this train back on the track here. Here we go.
Sorry.
For me,
talk about a train dream.
For me, I'm looking forward to two things, and they're both around The Housemaid. I started the book The Housemaid on Sunday, and I am halfway through it already. So in 24 you hours, like I have it? Read 100. Oh my God, it's the trashiest book I've read, and I can't put it down.
Okay, I want to see it so badly. I want to see it so badly.
That is the fastest read. Like, I'm not kidding. I have a hard, paperback, and I have literally read 200 pages in 24 hours. And that is not, I am not a fast reader that way.
Is it a horror? Is it a horror?
No. It's like an erotic version of The Devil Wears Prada.
All I know is Brandon Splinar is in it. He was the hot guy from Drop.
I interviewed him on the red carpet at the Globe.
He's so hot.
So dreamy. Yes.
So the book is what I'm reading. I'm halfway through it. I should finish it by Wednesday. I am seeing the movie next Monday. So I can't record next Monday because I've got a screening.
Got it.
And TV-wise, I mean, it's Christmas. There's always some Christmas baking or Harry Potter baking or holiday baking or I don't know what else. And then Stranger Things and It are still on. It is. I'm really liking that show. It's quite intense. Yes, I'm hugely surprised.
I got to restart it at some point. I just haven't had time.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Does it cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contending co-founders, Megan McLaughlin, Joey Moser, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or here on YouTube. Click like and subscribe. And, of course, wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.